meeting of Parliament, Wednesday, the 29th of June, 2022. We continue with the Appropriation Bill 2022. The Honourable Albert Easter. I would like to start by making a point of clarification in respect of one of the matters that the Chief Minister detailed yesterday in respect of the COVID recovery charge. We have had representations overnight from the industry, and we have agreed to engage with them in how we can address the COVID recovery charge in a way that does not harm their businesses. As members of Parliament will know, this is a sector that supported us during COVID, took the money from us during COVID, worked with us during COVID to deliver business as usual. And for that, we have expressed our thanks and appreciation over the past years. In the circumstances that we are considering, is limiting the charge to those companies that are actively trading in Gibraltar, but we will have the discussion with them. Members of them should be aware that we will have those engagements with them to ensure that we are able to be available to an important part of our financial services sector, and one that I look forward to engaging, as we always have done, in talking through all the issues with them. They've always been supportive, not just in respect of the COVID period, but in respect of all the directives that we have just incentivized in the European Union. They've always been very responsible and helpful, and I look forward to continuing with the Chief Minister those discussions in the coming days. Anybody listening to the intervention from members of the group believe that Brexit and COVID are the two things that we've held up. And it's impacted by the impact on our economy, the numbers to be looked at, and the turnout today is that those events have never happened. Mr. Speaker, these are not excuses, these are unprecedented events that have impacted the entire planet. It's that members have come to this Parliament to tell us that the spending in the GOP last year was over budget. Oh my God. If there was one year for that to be looked at calmly by this place, it would be during a COVID pandemic. Because it never would have happened to every single country on this planet. And so, I would ask members to think carefully about the responses they make. Because I know it's not just the political chamber, and yet we are all in politics. It has to come with some responsibility. And I don't feel, Mr. Speaker, that to rectify COVID, to rectify Brexit, which too long we are still working on, is realistic or responsible. Mr. Speaker, every single country is suffering from debt. The consequences of that debt and the monetary measures implemented to deal with that debt now give us inflation, the war in Ukraine, the world is upside down. In many countries around the world, unemployment is a problem. In other parts of the world, there's a problem of not having enough people to put into employment. In Gibraltar, I think the Chief Minister was saying we have low unemployment of 35. That's remarkable. After COVID, after Brexit, 35 unemployed. So, putting things in context is what this House should do when we talk to people in their chosen effect for one time in the year, the State of the Union method. We have definitely had to believe that the voting only country has been affected negatively by COVID. We're the only country that has debt. We're the only country that has to take the draconian measures which neither this government nor especially the Chief Minister wanted to take. The federal government is about making decisions. Whether it's going to be unpopular, and the family of the good leader is one moving step away from that responsibility. And take them if you have to. Mr. Speaker, why would your position have us believe that we're the only country in the world that has gotten the issues because of COVID? Well, politics, convenience, no, Mr. Speaker. Because last year, your position said specifically in relation to the issue of COVID and our crisis, from that effect, none of it were attempted. At the beginning of the intervention, in respect of the budget last year, said, the first said, and what could the government court have done, had done anything materially different in the way the crisis is tackled from the financial standpoint. I welcome the way the COVID-19 response fund was created, and indeed, is properly reflected in this book, 21-22. And I would especially thank the Chief Minister and the Financial Secretary for listening to us and taking on board some of our suggestions as to how the COVID response fund can be published on the quarterly basis and accounted for in the estimate book. Speaker, your member quite rightly acknowledged the work that has taken place between the opposition and the government in how we post the response to COVID in the estimate book. But this is really what is most important. That didn't seem to matter. We just dropped in to the numbers, the variable numbers that were included on the COVID response fund wasn't relevant. The Speaker, not only members are not suggesting to the people to vote for, but for the last 12 months is where the problem has been showing up. Especially in spending of sales have expected repeatedly. In fact, the only few things that came the world is one of the famous decisions. But the problem has arisen since COVID. Now, it didn't take an economist, didn't take a banker, even a simple lawyer like me, to understand that when your revenue is down, taxes are down, business is down, business is down, productivity is down, and you're coming back. More in the health service, various schemes, big schemes, paying almost the entire private sector salary when they were not producing, is going to have a pretty significant impact on the numbers. But it's not in everyone, not just the voters, but it's all of it. And it's expected. And it's not fair and slow, all these numbers into the air, hit the land, and the position where you can say, it's careful. No, Mr. Speaker. It's your good fault, and you're all trying to fix it. Let's just say that the members of the right. Let's just say that we are in financial ruin. We have problems, yes. But let's just say that we are in financial ruin. Because if you want, I respect the opposition to be the first people, if that's what they believe, to come to this parliament and to make a clear of every idea that you can do. Clearly, you should be supporting all measures that increases more money because you have a fine. But no, and it's not going to support the same complaint about the increase in prescription charge in 2,055 pounds. For goodness sake, it's 10,600 pounds a kilogram. 2,055 pounds. What is the last time in complaint? That's not credible. Thank you. member, and this is the working to do that. But that's the vote now, Mr. Speaker. This is an event. We have a vote for something to far better than the one that is contained in the 1,000 page treaty that we're all going to refer to. Who can remember what the 2018 policy was in Brexit? What does it mean for the job? Because they're going to go wrong. Who remembers what the 2018 policy was in Brexit? I don't remember that, Mr. Speaker, nobody else will give a hand about that. The world cannot put that thing to break in the time. All of us. They're against the tax treaty. They're against the community spending. They're against the banking deal. They're against all of them for what that tax treaty will do. What do they propose as a solution for the people of Gibraltar? Nothing. They come here with nothing. The speaker, this is my position that I have two primary roles. Check the benefits and an alternative to government. The world of innovation everywhere in the world is to provide an incredible alternative to government. What are their ideas? What are they thinking? What do they become? Who knows? I think in danger, I don't think they know it themselves. Because he talks about the green card holders, people to be crossing the frontier. It's a testament to the negotiating ability of this government and this recent congestion center, but you will tell them, are the only British nationals that can cross into Finland without having a passport to sign it, or something to make it. But no, yes, they focus on the blue card holder. Well, let's get real, when the blue card holder lands in Melbourne, it was in the beginning, it's exactly the same. And what this government is working to work towards is to deliver a future of mobility that will benefit the whole of Gibraltar. Those that live here, those that reside here, and those that work here. And to speak up, that's what the business industry is calling for. That's what the entire business community needs. Mobility. Because without it, they can't survive. And I'm saying it. The global view of this incredible time span, that we miss the vote. I wonder if it's right. They started a 1,000 page treaty in the UK has with the EU. And they admit to come across a known cabinet of politicians that just bargained a good deal for the United Kingdom. You can all remember the case, but we should have been a part of that deal. I, for one, Mr. Speaker, I'm absolutely thrilled and delighted, and I know that the entire business community is also that we are working on our mobility deal, that we have access to UK financial services, that we have access to the UK online gaming market, because that's what we have in for Gibraltar and employment for Gibraltar. Because the UK treaty that the whole member says needs to vote on doesn't give you access to the single market, doesn't give you any movement at all that we will have, and doesn't give you movement of goods either. Our view, Mr. Speaker, whether it's delivered by the two things that I'm confident that we will, doesn't have to be that. So, Mr. Speaker, before we criticize and before we say no to anything and everything, I believe we have to accept the most incredible progress that we've made in the time period that we've been able to do it. And again, Charles has said Brexit was 6 years ago. Again, did not wake up in the morning and realize the Greek was Brexit. 2 years of the entire system shutdown. I just cannot understand how members of it are able to come to this house and describe things in the way they do, as if we're living on different planets. Because we live in reality, which is the difficult thing that we have to in reality, and we will come out of this at the other end of a much stronger position than we've gone in. As I mentioned before, in my view, the position seems to cause the level of raising money. If they honestly believe that we are in the position of state terrorists, that we are. The truth of the matter is that whatever we do on this side of the house, whether we increase taxes massively, or whether we abolish taxes altogether, they're still going to vote against this bill. That's incredible. That's incredible. Because we know, for themselves, that the way of the best future, which they know, is going to be the job. The way they are spending the rest of our whole reasoning. This is going to be the best in the world. What can the president of the world take? Whatever 2%, whatever 19%, 99% speech. Mr. Speaker, the
to vote against the appropriation bill scheduled in 2017. And I believe one of Mr. Clinton is probably going to then read it. Mr. Clinton is going to vote against. A political stunt. A political stunt. Which they are prompted by their own desire and not to follow every word in order not to make that initial decision look as stupid as well. Mr. Speaker, why have we voted against the budget? Well, again, I go to Hampshire to discuss this project, useful to understand why things happen. And I quote again from my friend Mr. Clinton's intervention last year.
And we will get there. We will get there. Because the community developer supports the bank. But Mr. Speaker, when we are in financial crisis, when we are in a hospital for all, as the country said, we are, how can we use the right control rule when we realize that the government is not going to pay us? If the government got no money, how can we possibly want us to spend money on our society? That was good. And the people, just that in. Let Mr. Speaker, double it. To an African-American campaign, to the African-American campaign, to a few great events, with full awareness. You know that this government has spent on previous capital projects with no regard to affordability of banks. Mr. Speaker, I work for this morning to the quite beautiful Commonwealth Park. Mr. Speaker, the money that we spent, we spent on things like the Commonwealth Park, of course. We have invested money which will be here forever for the people of Japan and the community of Libya to enjoy. That is a good investment. Not spending like they would have done in digging a hole in the first row or lending money to OEM to move on how to get one of the boats. The contrast between telling the developer that they have just bought and then telling us that we should be spending more money on things like national security. Which we don't believe in serving. At this moment in time, do, I make exactly what we're not doing, is, I believe, prudent, responsible, and appropriate. But it's a good idea. Then we're going to go wrong. And we're not quoting our research in the blocking public plan, as well as the blocking perspective, which the government should use, no doubt, to send to all those donors who will just have the money to produce the project that they said they were going to do.
To make plans and to carry out regular conventions out of my room. I can just give these guys a little more before we go into something television. But that contrasts significantly with the position adopted by my friend Mr. Clinton. And I would start off before I agree to say, I'm very happy to go to the number behind the chair and the House Clinton session building, so that I can turn some of the detail, because there are obviously we've been to a very comprehensive paper, much of which we are not able to discuss, but I would be happy to give more detail about that one in person, as I would like to be in previous. So my thanks to you for that. Mr. Speaker, the permanent body of the Council of Europe entrusted with the task of assisting compliance with the principal international standards to counter money laundering and in the financing of terrorism and the effectiveness of their implementation, as well as in the task of making recommendations to national authorities in respect of necessary improvements to their own systems. One of those goals is to have one of the eight FATF original bodies, the FFRBs, now set with autonomous and independent from the eight FATF. It closely cooperates with it, as well as with other FFRBs. The FATF is a global money laundering and terrorist financing system. It has developed the recommendations which ensure a coordinated global response to prevent organized crime, corruption, and terrorism. The FATF also manages countries to ensure they implement standards fully and effectively. In 2015, the Council of Europe adopted a resolution which allowed the broadcast to be evaluated by Monobar for the first time. In April 2019, the first meeting of the European Report process was also going to conduct when an evaluation team of the Monobar Secretariat and Global Assistant Assessors came to the Belgian draft of the report. The Monobar was considered with the December 2019 team of Monobar and subsequently published. The MLR consists of two parts: the technical compliance against the 40 FATF recommendations, and secondly, the effectiveness compliance. The technical compliance element of the MLR consists of ensuring that legislation, policies, and procedures exist for the jurisdiction that will enable the application of preventative measures. The effectiveness compliance evaluation focuses on the attainment of the 11 so-called immediate outcomes. All MLRs carried out on all jurisdictions are conducted using the same methodology of the FATF. All recommendations that are marked as possible or non-compliant have to be addressed by the jurisdiction in time which first follows the report. Note, the disagreement in respect of technical compliance issues is submission of evidence for the follow-up report is made by Gibraltar in time for the December 2021 plenary. And the follow-up report was published in November 2021. In order to achieve the results that you're going to do, a substantial number of legislative changes were made, and this follow-up demonstrated a very material improvement in technical compliance and legislation. All of our members will be aware of the best supported. All of those measures will be implemented in order to make the board more technically compliant with the FATF requirements and that I'm grateful. I should also say that our score on technical compliance at the end of last year was almost 100%. The technical review and effectiveness is not strictly necessary if the number of board members in the board that do not exceed the threshold of €5 billion. In this case, when you run to board of the test after COVID, the €5 billion mark and was naturally obliged to inform Monday of this DVD. This then was to a full degree of board of effectiveness in practice, with 10 of the 11 major outcomes being set. The FATF Council Corporation did group in ICRG oversees this process. The ICRG process is with the jurisdiction to speak in Ohio since the MER was published, and it has made positive and tangible progress in determining the recommended actions on effectiveness. In April of 2022, the board is looking at support on the progress made against all of the recommended actions in the MER to the ICRG. This report was followed up by a face-to-face meeting with the Italian parliament, into which all stakeholder authorities in Gibraltar for patent rights protection for the majority of the ICRB. The impact of the most likely and effective business is the post observation period report, the second, which is produced by the JV to the ICRG committee. The ICRG committee then presents the findings of the JV to the plenary of action. Today, we have a total of 78 recommendations in the NBR 2019. I'd like to pause here, Mr. Speaker, to express my thanks to each of those stakeholders that came written to Paris. They were questioned by the working group for 5 hours. The detail and the extent of the scrutiny is comprehensive to be admired. And I have to tell you this that I was immensely proud of each and every one of those stakeholders and the manner in which they defended their respective organizations and the manner in which they put forward the contribution in respect of the emergency they are responsible for. It was quite incredible to see the professionalism in each of them and the manner in which they dealt with the quite increased complexity in place in the entire working group of the ICRG. So, my thanks and congratulations to Dimitri Parodi, the head of that team, in respect of the whole of my personal team, I think, and each of the stakeholders that was with us at that time and has worked on this process for some years now. On the point of the time, the FATF identified the voting constriction under the group monitoring and inspected on two recommended actions. The lesson of the pursuit of regulatory sanctions and the pursuit of failing confiscation of judgments. The collective amount of work by all the supervisory authorities and others went into achieving the reduction to the two recommended actions in the action plan. The people were naturally disappointed. The same effect the action plan is identified by the FATF and their commitment at the highest political level to show full compliance within the time scale given. The voted action plan is the shortest of any country or constituent that has been identified as under the increased monitoring process, informally known as policy. The increased monitoring process is the application of enhanced due diligence. This is an important point. But they themselves don't call for enhanced due diligence process to be applied to constituents under increased monitoring. But encourage its members and all jurisdictions to take into account the information presented below in low risk ability. And the second voter for that will remain the two singular points that are relevant on our action plan, not everything else that we have been successful in dealing with. So what the FOPS is basically saying was focus on the action plan and measure that against the risk that the project will have in that particular future. Some countries will require enhanced due diligence process as regards to voter, and will expect these to be appropriate to the brevity of the action plan. Needless to say, the damage voter has been involved in contact with the recovery to a significant period of time on the subject of our review, and they have been and continue to be extremely supportive. That while having to be raised in focus from all the relevant sectors in Gibraltar are met on the morning of the announcement, both representatives of the Paris Center Council and also the representative of the GBGA, and we had other discussions with different groups. And I have to say, I was brutally impressed by their professionalism and can-do approach. Mainly, for example, the government sector, I've had previous experience with their license in Malta, which has just come up in great instance. So they have a good understanding of what it means to work within the action plan and its implications. Mr. Speaker, government continues to work in partnership with the FATF and is proud of the relationship that they have with the contractual standard setting body. Last year, we look forward to being removed from the different countries under increased monitoring in as short a time frame as possible. Moving on to financial services. The financial services sector continues to grow and serve the wider business support community. Then, our business will have a default and employment opportunities continue to outstrip those available in the marketplace of both financial services and government. The commercial insurance market continues to grow by far the largest sector, as you will know, is motor insurance. And we estimate that the total share of the nuclear weapons force market as opposed to 30%. And the reception we've seen tremendous growth over the last years. The maritime environment in 2014, as an indication, has watched the British share of nuclear weapons force market grow from some 12% to the 30% that it is currently at. All this, despite business, despite business, and then another challenge that we face and continue to face. It is a real testament to the professionalism and entrepreneurial skill of this sector. Today we have over 40 insurance companies working in the business, and collectively, the gross premiums of all of these insurance companies is well in excess of $5 billion. The majority of blockchain stocks will continue to thrive and dominate. Taking the regulatory accounts for the following regulated entities in the space: 15 VAT permission, 17 IPO offerings registered on the question of the product, 3 firms permission of virtual asset arrangement providers, 1 full bank permission. There are a growing number of crypto hedge funds domiciled in Georgia. In 2020, the market is estimated at having $3.8 billion of asset under management, with some 90% of these funds domiciled in Gibraltar. And there's also a strong pipeline of new applicants at different stages of regulatory process. And I think the team in Russia will deal with these, and with respect in particular at the SFC, as I know, despite the strains and staffing levels that I've referred to later, it is continuing to deliver a professional and timely service to our licensees. It goes without saying that all of the aforementioned include fees, employment, taxation, and a general contribution to GDP, as well as the bare reputation of marketing to support innovation and utilize multinational technological funds. As the panel will continue to work closely with GDP, the association and the Secretary General. They are professional, energetic, and innovative, and it has been a real pleasure to work with them this year as it has been every other year. We meet regularly, and as a result of our work, we've introduced significant new and exciting legislation to the industry, with more to come. My sincere thanks to Joe Gomez, James Lasley, and Jonathan Garcia. The speaker will continue to work with Ocean Treasury on the delivery of the GAAR regime, which is on course to be implemented in Q1 of 2024. This will find that there is concern on market access to the financial services market, which is so critical to our community. I'm grateful to the Federal Treasury for doing the work on this, as well as to the people that do this at from the TFSC who lead on this important work. In the last financial year, we had in April, every new regulation setting the standard for market integrity and the virtual asset space. This term core principle is the first time that any jurisdiction in the world has established market integrity standards more involved in traditional markets. My first of the many individuals taking to work on board who have contributed to this working group alongside 755 the regulator and to vote on it. In December of 2021, the working group was established to review the safety security depository regulations, which is now reported back to me with their recommendations. The working group includes ministers and legal experts in the field, together with the regulator and the department. In December, we also announced that we begin a process by which we integrate blockchain technology to complement our new government systems. The technology builds upon and enhances the functionality provided by the services and focus of the interface being to know the reason to serve government issued and certified credentials in the digital world. We are grateful to our partners, IOBI and Bitso, as we know, from Parliament members, this and zero cost to the taxpayer. Banks in Q3 of 2021 have established a working group, which includes industry representatives and devoted finance, which will, in due course, provide guidance and recommendations on the decentralized space, DeFi, and how to go to consulting engage further in this industry. On the 26th of 2021, we announced that we're ready to review the consultation process in Q4, the limited partnership chart and the protected sale limited partnership chart. This reform framework keeps our legislation up to date, competitive, and able to attract the business globally. In March 2022, after a long, substantial engagement with GPS, we also announced numerous cases now calling dual funds review. Please see if you have to thank. My thanks to you, Mr. Speaker, who were patient as we called through all the consequences and to ensure there were no unintended consequences in the work that we did to enable them to have these developments up to date of the evil regime that we still have on our books for the nuclear market. They are now able to compete globally as Canaan and other international jurisdictions do. In 2022, Gibraltar is recognized in the PwC First Annual Global Crypto Hedge Fund Report as the third best jurisdiction in the world to set up the crypto hedge fund. That's an important report, and I think it's been the subject of the credibility of the work that we've done and the success that we've enjoyed. It is the second consecutive year that we are ranked third in the world in respect of crypto hedge fund designation. My congratulations to the sector. The public sector, private sector partnership is critical to everything that we do. And I want to thank the Gibraltar Finance and the Council for their work and support this past year. My current chair and vice chair, Nicholas Cruz and Mark Amor, for their stellar work over the past 24 months, and incoming chair and vice chair, Sean Cowdery and Adam Clare. I look forward to working closely with them for the benefit of the industry. And I also thank the members of the industry for whom we work closely and have proven themselves to be a value and important part of our partnership with the private sector. As a chief member of the state, government set up a working policy group on financial services to advise government on all aspects of the sector, including our product line, new areas of business, and how we can improve our offering more generally. The group prepares huge amounts of work and met with all areas of the industry and engaged in detailed discussion on all of these areas. I am not looking forward to engaging with them and working to deliver their thinking. The members of the group are Rachel O'Brien, Chair of Obama, Louise Cruz, Michael Keaton, CC, Jonathan Garcia, and Jane Brennan. Mr. Speaker, the Chair of the CEO of the Institute of Trade, granted CEO, have emerged from the COVID period with a rapid return to business as usual. Their work on the guard is worthy of particular mention as the work in managing the rate of their business against significant staffing challenges. My thanks to Cameron and the fully management team, as well as the chairman and members of the board of the FSC, for their continued good work. And of course, I want to thank my team to the panelists, including Jimmy Chippen, our CEO, and our senior executive, Mike Ashton, and several of the members for their work this year. As we emerge from COVID, they will be at the forefront of our efforts to once more ban the think of Gibraltar drama. The transition back to normality from Gibraltar to Boston Bank following the peak of the COVID pandemic has been seamless, and the bank is now servicing the needs of the local community once again. Economic activity has reverted to pre-COVID levels, with the bank continuing to perform well and maintaining a steady deposit base over the last 12 months, and currently standing at £1.173 billion, a remarkable deposit figure. The bank currently has over 19,000 clients, which holds over 32,000 accounts. With regards to loans and mortgages, the book currently stands at some £321 million. The bank has forecast for the profits of this year to March of 2022, and I think forecasted at £3.2 million. The bank has worked hard this year to deal with a large number of attempted scams. The bank has responded well to retiring insurance policies to combat fraud and continuing to communicate with clients on the risks of disclosing personal information to anyone. Thank you, Speaker. I'm grateful to the CEO, Mr. Lawrence Berkshire, who is unflexible about what he's been attempting to retire. Lawrence was there on day one of the creation of the bank and was the architect of everything that we have done. The unquestionable success that this bank is doing and is in no small measure due to its professionalism and expertise, for which I will always be grateful. On the part of the bank, the best in the senior management team and staff, and indeed the board, who under the chair of the management continue to drive the bank forward. My sincere thanks. to them all. My question is a place for people to operate internationally as a gambling business remains strong, albeit particularly pressure on the local employment market. The government sector of 2021-2022 has been doubled, with employees remaining stable at around 2,500, reflected in stable season rising revenues. Speaker, all the numbers you recall could in 2011 when this government was elected, the numbers could have been around 2,000. And I think, despite Brexit and all these businesses restructured their businesses to provide their revenue business out of Malta primarily, that we have continued to hold strong, stable numbers of adjustment to the current picture, and I think deserves to be mentioned. My position is also some feature of the downturn in financial markets. The macro pressure on overall life and standards. The government introduced transit control fees in anticipation of the IRA utility, which would allow cost recovery to the detailed revenue to the business work that is conducted on the economy. The next couple of months, April 21 to March 22, there's a second new position license, which is unwanted to do. There is a pipeline of 8 new licenses in form. 5 of those are B2B, and 3 of those are B2C. And we've seen 2 new licenses granted to a company that will actually run this business back to Malta. So, the case of reduction in the incorporation tax receipts is expected to recover by 2023. The overall sector contribution to government revenues is well in excess of $65 million. The speaker of the government factors have been some delay to the introduction of the gambling bill. The command paper has now been drafted, and we expect consultation with the industry and license holder to take place before and during the summer months. The review of the economy for Parliament in the autumn. We have already started the process of one-to-one consultation with our stakeholders and we will work through their comments and contributions to our work. Speaker, the Honourable Member of it is welcome to engage with us in the script of the day, and I'll be very happy to arrange for him to meet with us and the regulator to deal with any questions you may have in respect of what we are proposing. Additionally, the proposal of resources have been granted to the Gambling Division to manage the cope with the new licensing regime, including the personal licensing of key individuals. Through the extensive consultation and an increased amount of policy work to embed this new framework. That framework aims to maintain high regulatory standards, including financial perspective and social responsibility, while maintaining to more effectiveness as a business partner. I hope that this report will be a sensible estimate in response to the gambling. The country is now engaged in active research and cementing its international standing. I'm grateful to the team and the rest of the voters, Catherine and the team in particular, who have practiced to put this together, and of course, Dr. Patrick Walt, who has already commenced the work and is making fantastic progress. I'm also thank our team been great to participate with us in making a real contribution to better understanding responsible gambling and how best we need to work to identify, arrest, and support problem gambling. The gambling division has done extremely well this year under their quiet but eminent professional head, Andrew Ryan. They now have a significant business workload and growth cost, delivering 50 licenses and regulation oversight and enjoying their full confidence. They have been instrumental the proposal of a new gambling bill to get the drafting team of the three pieces. The legal department, and I talk a lot about them as we call the complete department, Ivan Achilla and Tony Barrera, since the conception of 2013, have continued to be instrumental in providing support to the gaming and finance sectors. In November 31, the legal department created a one-stop shop to offer support to persons who have by the second lady in the community unit. The department heads some of the most vulnerable people in our society across all government services. The department has now also been given the responsibility to deliver and assist the public in accessing support from the customer services hub at 823 Main Street, which is from anyone seeking assistance in any interaction with the government. Mr. Speaker, my right to BBC, the new broadcasting event was inaugurated on Kingston the 19th of October 2021 by the Chief Minister. I am happy to say that the operation has resulted in a smooth transition without interruption to service. That, in itself, Mr. Speaker, is a phenomenal achievement. The election team has worked hard to raise the quality of the program during the last 12 months. A number of efforts have been made to improve student rights and leadership, all of which have benefited from new sets and learning. On Wednesday, the 15th of December, the Chief Commissioner was now raising a record breaking £185,000 for local worthy causes. This will enable local HR request to support a variety of projects nominated by local registered charities throughout the year. On the other hand, Jared Duma, our CEO, retired after 38 years of service, the last 10 as a CEO. During the summer, Jared oversaw the transition to digital technology in 2013 and then the agenda. Too many to mention today. But the next legacy will be a huge task of successfully relocating broadcasting rights to his new home. I thank Jared and wish him a very healthy and long time. I recognize the veterans of James Winston's appointment as the new CEO of the city. He will start the appointment in October, and I look forward to seeing his work as we now take GBC to its next level of development. The community's success, and I'm sure James will deliver. I must thank the government of Ireland, the board, and its members for their work throughout the year, and especially for having managed so successfully the selection process for the next CEO and for their work on developing a strategy for the future of GBC. My thanks to them all. The Secretary is continuing to successfully serve his contacts in respect of potable, clean water and sewage service in the region. As the Chief Minister has already announced, the government intends to acquire the first market of currently held by our partners and take full ownership of the company. The negotiations have been driven by the Financial Secretary with my full support. We will, of course, continue to invest in capital projects as part of the active replacement plan, including the replacement of potable and potable water banks across all areas of Gibraltar, and the new potable and steel water infrastructure for new development and our water finance project. This will be the effort to make a significant investment in additional production capability for the first time since 2011. To ensure that our personal requirements are met for the years to come. This is an exciting time, Secretary, and I look forward to continue to work with you. Before we start to the CEO, there has been significant progress in the fine tuning of the North Pole Pathway. I don't imagine. My question, why I thought you were right with this in the middle of the question. Okay, I understand. The people who have accepted the vote of has been significant progress that I've just mentioned. The national power station generated about 300 units in the last 1 month of the year. And that is why this is going to a decrease in the fuel consumption of about 4% on 123,000 tons.
192,000 tons in 2021. In the last financial year of 2021-22. We expect the network to decrease of about 4%. Successful with a new temporary rental plant, there will be a further drop to under 90,000 tons per annum, which will be close to 50% of what our emissions were in 2016, when all power generation is derived from diesel. That's a significant reduction in a short period of time. The core is actually the installation of a battery energy storage system. This work with him and support him in all these ways. And I'm confident that his efforts will result in real and tangible change in the manner that he provides healthcare in Gibraltar. I now turn to my responsibility in respect of the care agency. I've mentioned the first that learning to prevent a person from relative and important people's quality of life depends on the impact of COVID-19 on the family health on everyone. In collaboration with public health, the service is still able to provide support to those people and families and is able to keep the environment and health center open throughout the year. Remarkably, staff sick and families were down this year despite COVID-19. The first to continue to recognize one of its most important resources is itself. It is committed to the training, learning, and development of its entire workforce, so that they will be given this extreme knowledge to reach their full potential and provide safe and informed care. Another most important achievement, Mr. Speaker, is the creation of the community-led disability team, which supports those people and their families throughout their lifetime. It consists of a team of social workers and respect managers that are open to work in collaboration with other professionals to ensure that individual services and needs are met. The team votes in government sessions where information and advice is provided to people with limb disabilities, their families, or their care. This is a part of the investment that also helps improve preventions, given the recognition of three grants in the community. And therapeutic equipment, such as sensory integration of devices, interactive smart boards, education resources and materials, perfected in the therapeutic programs offered to service users to help them achieve their individual aims and objectives. Mr. Speaker, part of the network activity has also been done further, such as the partnership with the Gibraltar Football Association, which has now been established and greatly expanded to country. The scheme has been exposed to the sector and delivered. Last level. Yes. The Development Day Centre had two periods of closure between January and 2021, and again between December and February of this year. In order to ensure that these events could continue to be met, revealing the assessments were carried out and active care provided to ensure the well being and safety of those remaining in their own homes during this time. Then the individuals who are COVID positive is supported by a specific team to provide hospital admission and to reduce the spread of the virus. In addition, contact services have been included in organizing delivery of medical supplies, food, and therapeutic services. The medical care center has been open and continues to provide the service for our elderly community, some of whom are facing their communities having medical and no family. For community support, to personalize the state and stimulating environment. Mr. Speaker, the care of the children and social work team have continued to receive a high volume of referrals, and it's been record number of referrals from previous years. The people working in the family working with the children and the families to support and safeguard them. The same continues to work powerfully to ensure the children are safeguarded. And significant of the amount of advice, support, and practical help is provided to families within our community to ensure that children can wear appropriate safety remain at home. The team has found this has an increasing workload to cover the children and families in need early on to ensure the families receive guaranteed support. Mr. Speaker, the therapeutic team under the care agency CEO have taken on the management. And critical needs on drug alcohol rehabilitation services to improve both prison farm and dental service and drug and alcohol community services. The other person in the council of governance project and together with the new health manager, nursing staff, have been completely revised. Restructured and fully operational residential community based programs to include an established drugs and alcohol pathway with TDJ psychiatry, which focuses. And the importance of an interagency approach. I'm pleased to report that our project, provided by the Central Work Team of Ireland, down to 1119. And I must be delighted that Barry Hughes awarded this year the Staff Wellbeing and Work Recognition Award as well as the Mayor's Award in 2021. It's more than important recognition of the great work provided by the ladies and gentlemen. Our pandemic has changed the level of personal care and service for women that is difficult to understand. And I'm totally committed and I'm sincerely grateful to them for their dedication and sacrifice in caring for others, even at such difficult times as those we've endured in the past 24 months. Mr. Speaker, I'm closed by thanking the team in my office for looking after me this year and for that untiring work in supporting me as we strive to deliver our different objectives. Our work in different areas is critical to our progress. Training, care, and care, cars, and nursing are all supporting my work in different areas of my responsibility, and I'm sincerely grateful to each and every one of them for that total commitment. I'm especially thankful to my Secretary of Labour, Mr. Speaker, who retired in 2020, and I wish her a long and healthy retirement. My sincere thanks to each and all of them, and to Mr. Speaker, to you and your staff and his family. It's an ultimate pleasure to deliver my second budget speech. It's an ultimate privilege to deliver my second budget speech to encourage the best for business, tourism, and the future. During the course of my contributions, I will report on the projects undertaken over the past financial year, and I will set out my ministry's objectives for this financial year. Mr. Speaker, let me start with tourism. And by saying that the government was delighted to announce the appointment of Mr. Kevin Bacino as the new CEO of the Gibraltar Tourist Board. Mr. Bacino will take up his post on the 1st of September 2022. Mr. Bacino has worked in the tourism industry internationally and has worked in 9 different countries in Europe and Asia. He is currently Vice President of Operations for the global hotel chain Accor, overseeing the Singapore and Saudi Arabia region, comprising of 27 hotels. He commenced his career in Gibraltar at the Locatel and subsequently moved overseas, kick-starting his international career in Europe, moving to Venice, London, and Spain. Before setting his sights on Asia, where he spent most of his time in Hong Kong and Singapore, while his experience in the Philippines, Vietnam, and Indonesia. Mr. Speaker, as I have already said publicly, I never expected that a Gibraltarian with a respectful tourism experience would be selected having the right credentials and with over 30 years of working abroad in the field. Kevin has worked for some of the best hotel chains internationally and has huge experience in providing high-level customer care. Mr. Speaker, I look forward to working with him in the ensuing months and years. Let me say that my aim for tourism during the last year and going forward is to continue making Gibraltar visible to tourists and a wider market. The government has had a long-term view that its presence at different places to promote Gibraltar as a tourism destination is in particular subject to the criteria of value for money. This is all more relevant in the context of the huge financial cost of the COVID-19 pandemic. It may change from year to year, depending on the circumstances of the moment. There are occasions when the important activity is not exhibited in a place there as such, but rather the meetings of key decision makers that are around it. I also have seen visited London Dairy Facility on different occasions. A lot of work goes on, Mr. Speaker, behind the scenes, and numerous conversations take place. But of course, these are all commercially incompetent. In September, I participated in a European Tourism Conference.
Federal Weekly, and it was the primary venue for the Invitational Leaders at a conference against the future of tourism. The conference also discussed topics such as sustainable growth for the future and facing a new reality after COVID. This is the first participant study in the field of the museum this time since the pandemic, which offered a perfect opportunity to have the opportunity to invest in the tourism industry. At this event, guest speakers included Gary Watson, chief executive of Easy Technologies, Steve Keating, chief executive of Chat 2, and executive from the cruising industry. As a speaker, tourism is an extremely competitive industry, and it's imperative that the Gibraltar brand is kept at the forefront of people's minds. It is extremely important for Gibraltar to be seen and share its experience through the pandemic, while remaining to the tenant how the destination is ready to move forward. The feedback I get from the local festival founders is extremely positive. I am asking for two new offices to also proactively and energetically, and this is what I intend to do. In October, the Gibraltar Festival exhibited at the meeting show in London. As a speaker, this was the first live edition of this international event in over 2 years. The meeting event indicates one of the most lucrative sectors of tourism and delivery, and having been affected by the pandemic is a very key area for rebuild. The Gibraltar Fair worked over 40 pre-scheduled meetings across tourism. As a speaker, it is important for Gibraltar to show a physical presence at this show as the market reemerges. Business releases meeting plans to return to target, and it's crucial that we are able to build business for the years ahead. Also in October, I attended the World's World Conference in Milan. As a speaker, the World Vote is the annual meeting place for airlines, airports, tourism authorities, and other aviation stakeholders. It is where the World Airlines Network has been the tourism authority and the airports in order to evaluate existing air policy and explore the potential new ones. At the event, I participated in a tourism roundtable discussion. Several points were discussed, like the importance of tourism in the economy, how destinations have helped bring tourist companies back, and how Gibraltar has fought during the pandemic, in particular how dedicated our people were in keeping the virus at bay and the excellent vaccine rollout. Thank you for the opportunity to vote at the local political meeting attending the conference. The aviation industry has similar backgrounds, Mr. Speaker, so we are even more careful when new business will be business. But we need to showcase the voters' faith at every opportunity available. Mr. Speaker, this was an extremely important stage for the voter, as it was imperative that we should be present. I don't mean to think that prospective allies wanted to fight the voter. It's not easy to fight the allies and open up new routes. But we will always be prepared. Connectivity and growth go hand in hand. My only concern is to be putting the voter on the map and making sure our brand remains at the forefront of the economy. The event provided in particular, a great opportunity to discuss the Gibraltar Aviation Agreement with a top executive of the three most important local airlines in Europe, EasyJet, Ryanair, and Wizzair. In particular, I will continue to carry on engaging the Roman events that fight Gibraltar and prospective airlines who wonder what they want to fight for these. As we were ahead of the last few weeks, the airline industry is going through a very difficult time, with cancellations due to shortage of staff and huge demand. During the last week in Pigali, while I was attending the Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting and at the CEO of Heathrow Airport, he told me the current times were extremely challenging and never experienced before. Then, still at the speaker, it is important, more than ever, to continue working on our relationship with airlines as regularly as possible. At the speaker, November, I attended the World Travel Market in London. The World Travel Market is a leading global conference for the international travel industry and is an excellent opportunity for tourism representatives to meet and conduct business. Gibraltar has found where it was able to showcase our tourism products and allowed us to close meetings with industry executives during the event. The conference gave me an opportunity to meet executives from travel trade. Also, I was interviewed by the prestigious travel meeting magazine and by Mr. Simon Calder, the leading travel journalist. I also had the opportunity to meet with David Dooley, chairman of Carnival Cruises UK, and share the government's vision on cruising as one of the most critical companies and sector. Mr. Speaker, I was delighted that my UK counterpart, the Honourable Nigel Coventry, most of the tourism heritage and sports business backgrounds, and I was able to brief him on Gibraltar, how it has fared over the last 18 months, and my plans for the future. I also had the opportunity to meet with the tourism of Israel, with Mr. Yoel Ravnovich, where joint initiatives were tested. In particular, our participation at this event was extremely successful as we managed to keep our regular profile in the UK, which is the main source market for overnight tourism in Gibraltar. We have tremendous inroads in how that is what our destination has to offer. In particular, February this year, I attended Comet's Route Development Forum in Canberra, Finland. Once again, I am here to meet you with our airports and tourism officials. At the event, I formed part of the panel discussion topic, Tourism Recovery Strategy, where I am questioning the work that will be done during COVID, plans for the future, the EU Treaty, and specifically on how the EU Treaty will affect Gibraltar International Airport if aviation form part of it. In March, I hosted a working breakfast for some members of the travel press at Gibraltar House in the Mountain. Attending the briefing were travel writers from Business Traveller, Condé Nast Traveller, BN Holder, Travel Quality, amongst others. I was also interviewed by the editor of Business Traveller, Tom Hockley. Mr. Speaker, it is important to talk face to face with the UK travel press and to keep them abreast of what is happening in the UK. I don't know if you know this, but the UK is our main source market for overnight tourism and also hospitality and retail trade in benefit from it. I hope you will have a similar event with different journalists too. Don't you think Gibraltar is at its all-time high, but we cannot be complacent. We need to keep at it always, making sure that the Gibraltar brand name is distinctly visible in the finest world of the tourism industry. I also hosted a marketing event in Edinburgh and several agents at the local sponsor press. The investment in the world industry with many travel agents now and some to put Gibraltar as a city break. And the Netherlands very competitive market, and these both marketing events in your way forward. Towards the end of April, I attended speaking called Global Rally. I was supposed to attend 2 years ago, but this was postponed due to a pandemic. It was speaking Global Rally, one of the world's largest annual conferences in the event. The event is where the conference is most important leaders from tech companies and companies to top court leaders have been coming together for over 20 years. I have numerous meetings with the largest in company with a discussion primarily focusing on increasing food stores in the short term. Other projects were also discussed. We've been based on developing Gibraltar as a port of choice in the Mediterranean. I was also interviewed by billion international food price. I think I was able to put across the board to their business as we try to cement our position as a view of the Mediterranean. Our port is considered as one of the most important in the area. However, there is strong competition with other destinations. Our presence at this event is imperative. We really want to promote our port as a premier unique destination. Business has not come instantaneously, as some might imagine to be It takes time, Mr. Speaker, and we will keep on working at full throttle to achieve this. Mr. Speaker, in February, we announced that Gibraltar Port has been confirmed as a new long-term strategic partner of Food Line International Association, UK and Ireland. TINA is the world's largest food and food association, providing a unified voice and leading authority of the global food community. On behalf of its members, TINA supports policies and practices that foster a healthy and sustainable food environment, promoting positive travel experiences for more than 30 million passengers who are food families. TINA includes the world's most prestigious ocean, river, and Atlantic cruise lines. A funding team and a certified travel agent community and widespread industry stakeholders, including ports and information, food development, supplies, and business services. TINA represents 95% of the world's ocean going cruise capacity, as well as 54,000 travel agents and 15,000 of the largest travel agencies in the world. Therefore, Mr. Speaker, the partnership with TINA will enhance the market brand awareness across the region, bringing them into a wider community of food brands, travel agents, and as part of the agreement, we've committed to the joint group of sponsors to sketch with many conferences in San Antonio at the end of the year. This is episode 26 of our website, newsletter, and community. As the people have no doubt that this initiative is really important to the Gibraltar economy, I look forward to having it clear and for being our goal to make Gibraltar as a part of choice for the community. As the speaker, in December, Gibraltar will host the COPEX 2022 World Aviation Summit. The Treaty Senate will draw leadership and several representatives from around the world, supported with a live streaming event available to those unable to attend in person. This is an extremely prestigious event in the world's aviation calendar. It is expected that the top airline executive will be visiting the community. I look forward to welcoming delegates from investment in the aviation industry.
During the year, I have met with the Marathon Community Foundation.
The Marathon Community is an integral part of the Gibraltarian family, and I've been meeting people having a difficult time investing in Marathon. During the pandemic, in fact, it was in 2011. Also, Marathon was under prolonged lockdown.
The Danians have left no stone unturned in trying to achieve LLC against the Marathon. In November last year, I had a chance to meet with the member of the LLC in Casablanca, but unfortunately, the LLC have been forced as a result of financial considerations due to the pandemic to cancel a number of their less profitable loans. We will continue working on all these very difficult situations. That said, we continue to work to try to reduce the ceiling, and together, FRS will be able to allow the resumption of the same service between Gibraltar and St. Malaysia. It is only possible now for the opening of Moroccan sea borders and permission to be granted by the Moroccan authorities. I am extremely pleased for our Moroccan community who are now able to visit family in Morocco as they have suffered the most from their concerns. Mr. Speaker, the links with Morocco are extremely important, and I look forward to new opportunities that develop, especially those linked to tourism and business. Mr. Speaker, honourable members, I know that the cruising industry was started due to the pandemic, with most of the cancelled and ships returning to informed ports. While the pandemic, we were in constant communication with all operators. In August last year, I was delighted to welcome the first episode from port since the beginning of the pandemic. We heard from Winston Cruises arriving in Gibraltar on the 30th of August 2021. Gibraltar was included in its outgoing partner with the Caribbean Cruise. A limited amount of passengers were allowed to disembark due to COVID-19 protocols at the time. May I remind the answer that the time Gibraltar Airlines did not have any restrictions for tourists to visit Gibraltar now, as was detailed in a post-insight secure booklet. It was three companies themselves which had their own procedures which restricted passengers flying ashore unless they had a pre-booked tour. September for a gradual return of cruise lines to Gibraltar. On the 5th of September, the spirit of this family arrived in Gibraltar with some 400 passengers disembarking to visit local cruise sites on pre-booked travel tonight. Towards the end of September, for the return of the cruise passengers in May, due to the arrival of Mariela Storia. This was the first commercial cruise since before the start of the pandemic, which allowed passengers to disembark into the town centre without restricting them to travel excursions. Mr. Speaker, there is no doubt this is a welcome return for traders who have missed out on the cruise passenger flight during the previous 18 months. In 2021, Gibraltar has received 44 cruise ships of which 5 were inaugural calls. Then this season, I picked up 185 cruise scheduled for this year and 163 booked for 2023 as things stand at the moment. This year alone, we will be welcoming 21 new cruise ships to Europe. Plans for the arrival of MS Iona, the new classical theatre, which is a subsidiary of Carnival Corporation PLC. It was one of the largest cruise ships with a capacity of 5,200 passengers and 1,800 crew, and also the first energy powered vessel. On this occasion, the ship was carrying 2,484 passengers and 1,657 crew on board. On the 20th of April, we welcome the two inaugural crews on the water on the same day. The Bougainville is the third group of the Explorer classic cruises operated by Pollard, and the Quest of the Impostor is owned by Carnival Corporation and operated by Costner Cordier. The more recently, we only can go to the arrival of the Valley Friendly on Festival of Food. This is a new ship from a new cruise company, Virgin Voyages, and will be calling here Outpost this year. It's still not likely to see the quick recovery we're making with cruise calls. It shows the popularity of Gibraltar as it is in 44, but also it demonstrates the result of the hard work being done by the government to get the cruise sector back on track. The government is terrific to the cruise industry for Gibraltar, and I will continue my efforts with anti-money plans to make sure Gibraltar is included in future cruises. At the same time, I will keep on working energetically, engaging with cruise executives worldwide, as I know how important tourism is to our economy. Mr. Speaker, the United States tourism will continue to be a priority and hope to see more international events return to Europe. There are present discussions being held, and I look forward to being able to make some announcements during the course of the next 12 months. Finally, Mr. Speaker, I believe we are now turning the tide, and the world's tourism market is developing at a brighter future after the effects of the pandemic over the last 2 years. Main Street is not busy,
and business owners claiming that things are a lot better. Mr. Speaker, I'm taking this opportunity to thank the staff of the intervening for their support during the year. I now want to be airtime on, Mr. Speaker. 2021 was a gradual slow recovery in traffic. The successful rollout of the vaccination programme of accidents have also been added to the United States and listed green countries. We saw growth increasing from May to December, with this continuing into the first quarter of 2022. And by the end of 2021, passengers had figured a total of 262,922, an increase of 41% over 2020. The capacity for 2022 is expected to be very close, if not the same to what it stood at in 2019, before the pandemic happened. I'm sure all airports worldwide would be delighted with this outcome. I would like to say a few words about the suspension of flights by Wizz Air and American Airways. I can only imagine the opposition spokesman for tourism rubbing his hands to not all agree when this announcement was made, because deep down he doesn't wish the government to proceed. Let me remind the honourable member that Wizz Air decision to suspend allegiance route, quote, as a result of the uncertain outlook for travel at the moment due to COVID restrictions, we have had to make a number of adjustments to our system. This decision has not been made lightly. We're constantly reviewing our schedule and will be keen on re-entering the Gibraltar market where it makes most business sense for us at the earliest opportunity. We need to realize that we're facing unprecedented times, as COVID is still lurking in the background, and all this causes huge uncertainty. As a consequence, all airlines are constantly looking at the new levels and trying their best to protect their finances. Continued with our management training, competency, and skill qualifications leading to various compliance obligations be maintained, allowing a seamless transmission to the return of normality. This is not been a testing of elephants, and although the members will only be familiar with the question of recent events, I know that the school is in many organizations that have been both recruitment and training, leading to regularly and very negative passenger experiences. In addition to this, airlines also struggle to recruit and retrain crews to cope with the expected surge and give 9,000 and 9,000 members to the public flight program in Greece, where there are sentences and resource issues linked to this. Back in order to delay servicing to launch the drops to 4 flights per week. I've also been trying to convince people to start getting on this route, and was encouraging to see that they did so last year. I'm pleased to allow people to do a continued with a few frequency for the simultaneity and the connectivity of the northwest of the United Kingdom, and bringing to both levels back to the pre-pandemic levels of traffic to that area. I now move to the report. The new captain report and CEO of the Boat Support Authority was appointed in January of this year. Mr. Bungie was appointed following the retirement of Mr. Manuel Pierre from the post. He mentioned this opportunity once again to congratulate Johnny on his promotion to captain and to thank Manuel for his support and to wish him an enjoyable and well-deserved retirement. I know that John will be an impressive captain. We have seen a level of ambition for our port, and I look forward to working with him to make our port even more successful. The port of Gibraltar has continued operations throughout the ups and downs of the COVID-19 pandemic, in no small part because of the dedication of all parties involved to ensure that operations continue with as little interruption as possible, while always being mindful of the serious nature of the virus. This is borne out of the level of activity for 2021 and in the early part of 2022. While some aspects of the marine industry are already starting to show recovery, other operations have remained steady or bounced back and in some cases exceeded pre-pandemic levels. In fact, vessel falls into Gibraltar were 5.81% in 2021, at least 2019 figures. Bunkering calls and bombings for 2021 against 2019 figures have also reflected a steady bounce back despite the ongoing global impact of the pandemic on shipping in general and increases of 6.54% and 5.43% respectively. Energy bunkering operations also took place in 2021, following close granting of a license for 5 bunkering operations in the United States. While demand is still on the low side, it is intended that we will start to see further increases in this activity, especially in the light of the global energy crisis that is the demand for this type of fuel. On a sanction, which will also add to the course of continued development and improving the environmental performance of shipping, would Gibraltar continue to lead the way in supporting the key global to the fuel. The government is committed to achieving a net zero strategy for our port. This is a complex situation, but we will continue confessing and working towards concrete solutions. We also saw that the post was in the latter part of 2021, and we are now just beginning numbers for 2021. 2022 is almost not pre-pandemic levels. As I said earlier, the business sector has taken a battle, but we are now on our way to recovery. As we have previously mentioned, there's more than 185 calls booked and only slightly down in pre-pandemic levels in 2019. We've done a lot of hard work behind the scenes over the last year, which is starting to bear fruit, as can be seen with the figures for 2022. Jet calls also reverted to that degree, and reflected that Gibraltar has remained a port of choice as well as necessity for the yachting community. This is borne out by an increase of over 15% in levels of activity for the first 4 months of 2022 against 2019 figures. While bunkering remains the mainstay of activity at the port, we are always looking for opportunities to increase the variety of services and business opportunities for the local maritime industry. And I'm pleased to report that portable water services are now available to vessels in the world port, something which is very much welcomed by the maritime industry. This has also served as a further way to the array of services already available at the world port. In September 2021, for the return of the London International Shipping Week. This was the first in-person event in the second calendar to take place since the start of the pandemic, and the Gibraltar presence was well received and offered a chance to re-engage with partners, stakeholders, and potential clients. A staff of attendees was very promoted by reception for the industry in general. It is notable that even at this level, the performance of the maritime industry is recognized internationally, as was reflected by the keen interest and awareness that Mr. Kitakian showed at our port, for our portfolio and contributions to the maritime industry. Ladies and gentlemen, also kick-started the maritime industry towards the maritime services marketing event in 2021, which opened for maritime Maritime Week in Gibraltar in November. The second event of this band was focused and promoted towards growing the maritime sector. Spain is now for necessary rising to visit the water, despite all those increases, still impacted on travel, which excellent feedback was seen from both local and international participants. The expectations of this event are now all part of the future in the incredible events going forward and will be an ideal platform to promote towards the maritime industry from a strong state that continues to develop and evolve. a new marathon against the Australian population of funds in October 2021. The pattern has been in development for 24 years, and I've taken a number of different roles, many people from the region want to be more accurate given on his appointment. This past year has been another challenging year for the UN, as the uncertainty of the ongoing budget negotiations have continued to impact on our leadership participation. However, the UN remains largely unaffected by Brexit, and small corporate impact also continues to grow as per the trend in the recent years. The fleet stands on a structure of military budget through 165 ships, 880 fleets, and 370 small fleets registered in Gibraltar, which is a combined tonnage. Of the Gibraltar fleet was 1,206,530 gross tons. Our registry continues to rank highly in its overall technical performance level within the major memorandum of understandings and postal control, and its quality registries by the United States Coast Guard in the USCG Black Flagship 2150. Gibraltar, however, 23 of the applications have met all the requirements for full participation in the Postal 21 program. The Gibraltar Coast Guard registry is the largest fleet worldwide. This is reflected in the annual international team of the tax performance table for 2022. Once again, the shipwreck is mostly a number of fleets rated in the table with positive performance indicators in every aspect reviewed by the ICA. These data control the performance of the administration, ratification of international conventions, completed ILO reports, attendance of ILO meetings, and participation in the UN International Maritime Organization Instruments Implementation Code Number Audit System. Importantly, following from last year's international audit by the Maritime Coast Guard Agency on Gibraltar, the United Kingdom's passport, which includes the red and sand look of which Gibraltar is effectively well registered, was audited by the UN International Maritime Organization in October 2021. The 11-day audit was carried out on the 14th to 28th October 2021. It was the first time such audit had been carried out remotely by the ILO because of the ongoing challenges of COVID-19. The audit scrutinized how the Ukraine and RNG administration meet its plans, cultural and post-fleet obligations. The GDM was audited on its black fleet and post-fleet obligations. I'm pleased to announce that the audit covenant will not only be run against the GDM. In particular, the audit is assigned by the more prudent development of the Ukraine RNG overseas and manages the obligation of a statutory work to its recognized organization. In addition to the GDM, the GDM system maintains its ISO 9000-2015 quality accreditation, having successfully completed 3 ISO external audits by July 2021. Maintaining ISO accreditation not only serves a message to stakeholders that the GDM offers robust quality management systems, but also reinforces the GDM's commitment to continue improve and seek efficiency to work in the work of the Department of State. These improvements are testament to the hard work undertaken by the staff at the GDM. The growth of the GDM has reached pre-Brexit and pre-pandemic levels in terms of retail and revenue levels within the next 5 years. Through controlled growth, the GDM will still be able to operate a registry that is run with 5 standards, be able to meet its duties and responsibilities, be able to maintain the quality of its legacy fleet, and focus on maintaining its good reputation within the industry. The department has identified areas in which it can generate savings and other areas where expenditure can be reduced. The GDM continues to explore new avenues to diversify fleet and increase budget challenge. As part of its work, the GDM has recently undertaken a thorough review of its fleet sector. The result has seen the development of new products and incentives which would add to the industry's competitiveness and attractiveness in the global market. A consultation process was launched and completed in April, during which the GDM engaged openly with and sought the views from its clients and stakeholders on the new fleet and incentives. The food and service infrastructure plan was adopted on the 1st of June 2022 and introduced an increase in fees across all services. And I think we will increase the orders we can charge by the industry. I think about new product pricing for annual tax tax discounts of up to 50% of annual tonnage tax available for multiple fees. For instance, introduction of annual tonnage tax for large commercial units and discounts for green fees. The principal program that we need to discuss is for a watch for owners who voluntarily adopt system areas that exceed environmental regulatory standards set by the International Maritime Organization. economy and business. And now we're the balance policy on digitalization. And the platform is implemented on challenge of product development, which may contribute to the challenge of the business for its chief IC parent on October 2022. And the solution is now able to offer the current strategy to certificates that meet the requirements of the standards of the United Nations International Maritime Organization Standard for the use of electronic certificates. The introduction of electronic certificates will benefit the plans by providing improved visibility, enhanced security, and a simple means of inspection documentation. The authenticity and the validity of certificates can be obtained via 24/7 online portal using tools verification and validity within the certificate. If you control this move, this move towards digitalization will directly benefit GMA's privacy. But if we continue to invest in systems and technology, it will further enhance the quality of service provided by the GMA. This includes the provision of entirely human cloud interface focus of seven related functions and new improved online services by improvements to smartphones. The application approvals are expected to be launched by the end of July 2022. As part of a final marketing campaign, the GMA has submitted at the first of May 2022 to the SEC in the and will be participating at the Monaco Boat Show in September. The small work of the GMA is very attractive not only to the Greek people, the largest audience, but also to international people as well, in addition, the GMA is an existing and potential new client together with its local representatives. As it comes to other local authorities and local stakeholders, the GMA is looking forward to marketing and promoting new incentives and projects at upcoming events and during pandemic to existing and potential clients in the next few months. During 2021, the department attended the London International Shipping Week. The Maritime Administration also attended the International Bank Congress for the first meeting under the London hosted by the Gibraltar Port Authority. The GMA staff took advantage of these opportunities to engage face to face with existing and potential new clients as well as other industry stakeholders. The GMA also participated in the very first session of the Maritime Week at the end of November 2021. During the event, the GMA staff delivered the presentation on the department's shipping operation, which was aimed at providing an insight on the Gibraltar website, the local different state registration and requirements, the registration process, and the unique advantages Gibraltar has to offer. In addition to marketing business, the GMA will also be taking part in the annual Redfern Group Conference, which will take part in July 2022 in the Isle of Man. The conference gives members the opportunity to have detailed questions and discussions on current matters that are of interest to the group. The task is to look at ways of improving the performance of the digital services, both in terms of promotion success and also in setting exemplary standards in meeting international obligations.
Thank you.
Representatives on the call determined to run their tests a 50 million environmental protection standard on board to be more complete. As part of its work to become more competitive in relation to sea power, the Trade Representatives Government measured our conference standards of training, certification, and work, including the new representative certificate of competency for a wide range of countries. Taking the protection service for giving few challenges on paper, ink and delivery that have in turn played an important role in improving the environment. We continue to see substantial volume of incoming parcels due to the continued growth of e-commerce purchases, with 110,000 parcels registered in e-post since its launch over a year ago. All incoming and outgoing mail is also processed electronically by the international postal system, which provides Argentina an accurate and comprehensive data on mail movement covering every point between origin and destination. The online e-post system offers a delivery option to recipients on payment of any applicable fees and duties to which our postal workers delivered 6,023 parcels in the past financial year. The postal office offers grant center collected in terms of 224,000 in fixed time revenue in fees and import duties during the financial year 2021-22. Although letter volumes have generally declined over the year, new residential developments have grown substantially in Gibraltar during the same period, thus increasing the number of individual addresses. In September 2021, the postal walk system that has remained the same for the past 25 years was modified in consultation with the unions and the Argentine staff, by increasing the standard 13 delivery walks to 17 delivery walks in order to accommodate the growth of new addresses. The Argentine development led to all addresses in order to keep stable for a steady rate. Being the mainstage of the top of the list. Mr. Cooper, the Universal Postal Union announced new regulatory changes from the 1st of January 2021. This month, that it is now required to provide an electronic proof by customs detail on all parcel items containing goods or merchandise to international destinations. These changes also came into effect on the 1st of April 2021 for parcel items containing goods or merchandise to the United Kingdom. Electronic formats containing letters, stamps, and/or documents were not affected by this new requirement. As a member of the Universal Postal Union, the IPPO was bound by the new regulations in force of all member countries and their postal authorities. This pre-advised people have to automate and speed up manual processes, which enables a more efficient customer clearance process. The IPPO changed the new map and provided a customs authority option available on the website and at the Macy Post Office to make the process of selling prices as easy as possible for its customers. As a speaker, in March, the IPPO supported all Gibraltar residents with relatives and friends in Ukraine, including individuals, charities, and schools that waiving postal charges for mail addressed to Ukraine. The instance of friends and family during difficult moments is crucial, and the IPPO will let them think of its plans to help. We continue to do everything possible to share support, and we are grateful to the Ukrainian Postal Service for making a speculation about charitable support on their website. In addition to regular meetings that take place between the IPPO management and its railway counterparts, the Director of Postal Services took part in a small postal administrators forum event in Malta in May of this year. This was a unique event, especially in the event of CEOs and postal leaders in small jurisdictions to share and share the latest ideas, best practices, and innovative approaches. It is an opportunity for American colleagues facing the same challenges and to discuss important topics during the effects of COVID, travel and revenue, bilateral agreements, and direct postal service links. The conference gives members the opportunity to have detailed face-to-face discussions. Finally, I would like to highlight my feedback for the total replacement for all of the Gibraltar Post Office vehicles to brand new electric vehicles back in December 2020. The project was in line with the government's manifesto commitment for a green Gibraltar. The all electric postal vans are delivered across all areas of Gibraltar safely and efficiently in the most environmentally friendly way possible while reducing carbon emissions and noise. I do not have a joint satisfaction to see this red electric postal vehicles operating on deliveries around Gibraltar. As most of these preparations for postal services, it is now obligation to ensure that efficient and reliable postal services is provided within Gibraltar and between Gibraltar and the rest of the world. My thanks go to all the team at the IGPO, ably led by the London Latino, Her Majesty's Customs and our logistics partners for their continued hard work during the course of this meeting. I have been responsible for the OSP up to the recent recession in April, where responsibility was handed over to my colleague and friend, Samantha Sacramento, for the reasons set out by the Chief Minister when he announced
your people's core sentiment in return, setting a business legacy. Over the course of the past 5 years, the business crisis in Chile has seen a significant increase in the number of business license applications it has received. At least 935 business license applications notices have been published, representing a 31% increase compared to the financial year ending 2021. Applications processed per week by the team have therefore increased from 14 applications per week to 18 applications per week, on average, the maximum of 30 applications received in a single week. During the past year, the office has issued 501 new licenses, representing an approximate increase in licenses of 25%, based on renewal data for the last 2 years, 2,235. This is a great indicator that Gibraltar business is flourishing despite significant COVID-19 and business-related uncertainty. Under the Gibraltar, entrepreneurial spirit continues to show resilience in adversity. Given the increase in workloads and potential spending increases, the government has invested in IT-backed services to allow beyond future modernizing internal processes and databases to create a modern and fit-for-profit software package that will allow the team to provide quicker and more efficient service to the business community. Turning to the RFT Consumer Protection Responsibility, Mr. Speaker, the Consumer Protection Team has processed 374 complaints of reported harm to consumers in Gibraltar during the past 5 years. At least 75 have left investigations filed out by the team. This high number of complaints are largely a reflection of the success of the RFT Consumer Awareness Program, which continued in 2022. The program is to educate local consumers about their consumer rights and businesses to understand their rights and responsibilities. Awareness has been raised about a wide range of projects, such as distance contracts, rental deposits, second-hand cars, and toy safety, with particular emphasis on the dangers to children of business law, especially mattress and flammable costumes. The team has also continued activities of awareness and filing the post-COVID new normal to reflect ongoing changes that affect consumers. As a result, the team has effectively engaged on strategic guidance to businesses within the charity sector, directing assistance to local consumers in pursuit of successful claims to a small contract in the Supreme Court against local charity agent arising from the cancellation of a private holiday due to COVID-related travel restrictions. This year, the OFT has issued the new code of conduct for the retailers of goods and work, which is one of the best practice standards for businesses and retailers. That people and goods for ordinary and consumers. The code provides clarity for both businesses and consumers to be centralized from purchases, including expected readers and time frames. As part of its ongoing inspection program, the team has carried out 50 interviews to local businesses, including follow-up to ensure compliance of identified portfolios. The team has confirmed that the government continues to work on the RFT of the first day in 2020, with the aim of producing a more appropriate and mature framework around the new which the RFT will operate. The bill will make the starting point of new business easier and quicker by simplifying the purchasing process, which will therefore drastically improve the manner in which the RFT can provide services to the public. At the same time, the window will protect consumers in Gibraltar and allow the RFT to set treatment standards for businesses operating in Gibraltar. This process continues to be done in consultation with Gibraltar Federation of Small Businesses and the Chamber of Commerce to ensure that they will support the business community in Gibraltar. The document is expected to be filed for pending clarity on some important issues before it is ready to be presented to the next slide. Finally, the speaker will be thanked to Francis Pascal, Odita Rodriguez, and the rest of the team at OFT for their support, whilst I have been a student of responsibility for them. Moving on to other business related matters, Mr. Speaker. In December 2021, I introduced an AM Orders for Business Board, the aim of which is to assist and foster positive development of businesses locally. The board consists of representatives of the Gibraltar Chamber of Commerce and Gibraltar Federation of Small Business, in addition to a quick mention of local business owners. I'd like to be glad to know this business is not only about business growth. We have some excellent entrepreneurial women in Gibraltar, and this is proof of that. I wanted to show our women the respect they deserve, especially at this important juncture of our growth development. This is the second business board that I've appointed, and I look forward to working with them for the good of our community and the Gibraltar as a whole. The speaker, the Business Improvement District Act 2021 was passed by Parliament on May 2021 and brought into operation together with the Business Improvement District Regulations 2021 on the 8th of July 2021.
Honourable Member for a call for a business improvement district is a defined area which means businesses are required to come in order to sell projects related to these findings. The rest of the sound may be managed by the business for the businesses and have full support of the GDP and the Chamber of Commerce. Public Manager of Gibraltar, Chamber of Council, as well as numerous other interest groups and associations. In September last year, the voting process began for the district to decide on whether they wanted to form part of the debate. On the 1st of October, the results of the ballot were announced. Of the 201 votes cast, 192 businesses voted in favor, which represented 66% of businesses backing the scheme. Consequently, the scheme was launched. The discussion of the rights to the challenges of the tourist and local areas, this is an exciting time. The big company who will be managing the big project is a not-for-profit company managed by banks and guided by a board of directors. Who will be directly accountable to the big building players and responsible for delivering the big projects and servicing and maintaining the big objectives. These objectives are direct and deliver over $4 million of investment over the next 5 years, clean air extension projects and events to drive football and spend in the town area and raise its profile. Help its continued recovery and develop its position as a vibrant destination for local residents and businesses alike. These businesses represent the need to finish by driving down into stock, providing business development opportunities, bring a strong voice championing their community. And finally, improving the trading environment, making our town a better place for everyone to do business as well as a better place for locals and tourists to enjoy. But the program needs to keep people in the street number for now. This will bring optimism and confidence to our small business sector. I am excited to be working with this energetic, enthusiastic, task force team to help them bring them the much needed success they deserve. I'm delighted to be part of the official launch of my action. As a speaker, my ministry is a strategic partner of the Commonwealth Enterprise and Investment Council. As honourable members are aware, a summit to Gibraltar office was opened last year to assist strategic partners to establish, develop and sustain a network of productive relationships across the Commonwealth global business ecosystem in order to enable sustainable business growth. In January, our first partner delegation, which included members of parliament from the United Kingdom, on a trade meeting to Bangladesh. Meetings were arranged with the Bangladesh government, including the foreign minister, the Minister for the Environment and the Minister for Economic Affairs. There were also separate meetings with private sector business, with private sector investors, business leaders and industrialists. It is clear that there are opportunities in many of these that are relevant to Gibraltar, like commerce and in financial services. And I look forward to further engagement with those that are not just servicing other scope around the business instrument. I look forward to further collaboration next week and take this opportunity to thank them in particular the previous team of the Council, including Gibraltar, as part of their delegation to Bangladesh. I continue to meet regularly with the Chamber of Commerce and the Minister for Business. My doors are always open to them, and I look forward to working closely with them over the next year. As a speaker, the government announced in March additional financial support measures for the fintech sector. The government has consistently assisted and supported the fintech association throughout the entire COVID-19 pandemic. The support packages aimed at mitigating climate energy business for making such a famous final package of the government in June 18th to November 2021. The support package was given a great moratorium, great discounts, and a waiver of all registration fees as employment deductions. I did not digest, but before finishing my contribution, I was quite saying how very disappointed I am with the opposition of tourism, especially the honorable General Bafino. But the last year played politics with tourism. In my attempt to grab headlines and to make himself relevant, the honorable member has been constantly nitpicking on almost everything the government does. And the honourable member is perfectly entitled to have a different opinion. It seems that he just criticizes for the sake of criticizing. I have not been able to come to terms with the fact that he is not related to tourism. We have been elected to implement and develop our own policies, and we develop our programs for governance in accordance with our views and assessments, and not with the policies of the opposition. What is remarkable is the arrogance with which the honourable member approaches his role as a member of opposition pretending to be able to make policy in the areas he I can assure you first, and those listening to these meetings that have the honorable member of this politics, I will not be distracted from getting on with the serious business of government, which is what I was elected for. Mr. Speaker, I would like to thank my friends, the honorable Chief Minister and the honorable Deputy Chief Minister. I couldn't do this job without their support. They have always been there for me. I'm ready for that part. Thank you. And I want to your colleagues too. Thank you. My wife and team, of course, especially in that I've been away, each and every one of them, they are an amazing team. And I'm lucky to have them working with me. Hard working, loyal, ready to do more, and always ready to help me. Apologies to them for putting up with my demands for land, my website, my emails, etc. They know that they need to apply at these hours, but they do, because they care. They understand, and I want everything, they understand that I want everything done yesterday, and they respect that. Last but not least, I want to thank Tracy Fondo for assisting me from the land records in my training and endeavors. I hope my thanks to all of you, you are the best of the best. I thank you, Mr. Speaker, thank you, and the whole Parliament staff for all the contributions that have come to this job and make life easier for us. Thank you very much. Thank you.
I'm going to have a 3:30 to 4 o'clock.